Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking with Joe Ward, a legend in Alabama politics, especially education. Joe Ward says he's the longest-held Democrat held in captivity. Joe Ward was at State Board of Education meetings for over 33 years. Ward was the AEA field manager for the northern tier of county and school systems from 1987 to 2004 and had begun working for AEA in 1971. When he was executive director of the Huntsville Education Association. Ward is responsible for AEA field services in the Shoals. In 1973, Ward became the UNISERV or recruiting director for Madison and Jackson County local AEA affiliates. Prior to coming to Alabama, Ward was a National Education Association representative in Kansas and Florida. During his 33 years, Ward led a
successful
for schools. Okay, good morning, Mr. Ward. How's it going?
It's going great. Good to be with you.
I'm good to hear from you. We all need to hear from you because it just seems like you said, you're the longest Democrat held in captivity. And I just wanted, first of all, before we talk about anything else, I want to ask you your opinion on what's going on.
I'm listening.
I think we got Deborah Barnes
ready
on the line. Deborah, your voice is coming over
yes,
us.
Sir.
Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. Mr. Ward, I just want to ask you about the situation we had this past week when it came to the elections down there in the state party. Now, full disclosure, I am an opposition 100% of Joe Reed and Nancy Worley. But I just want to get your grassroots perspective on what's going on down with the state party. I had to cut.
Well,
I had to cut your mic off because you're overlapping and you got some background noise. Take care of that background noise, and we're gonna bring you back on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Ward. I was just letting Deborah know that her phone was giving some background noise.
Yeah. Well, what happened, the state Democratic Party basically has not existed for about 15 or 20 years. Joe Reed managed back in the heyday of the Democratic Party to fix it where he could have about 35 or 40 add-ons of people who are on the Democratic Executive Committee who are not elected. If you take those 35 people that he appointed away, then Nancy Worley, he and Nancy Worley both would have been defeated. I guess it's a situation of Joe Reed and his folks would rather have control of the Democratic Party than to elect Democrats to public office. And I believe they need to go. Hello? Hello?
Hold on, Joe. He's probably trying to come back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. I just wanted to ask Joe, how did we get in this position? You just explained how Joe Reed does it. That's his whole MO, and that's how he maintains control. What is it going to take to change that?
I think that probably the only way that I know of that we can change that is maybe file a complaint with the National Democratic Party and just simply ask them to disaffiliate the present party structure that we got and start all over. I don't think
that sounds like a good idea to me.
Joe Reed's got those add-ons. I don't think you can get a vote to get him to voluntarily give up power. And don't get wrong, Joe Reed in his day has done some good things, Marcus, but you know, everybody's day comes to an end.
And yes, you're exactly right. That's what I've been explaining to people, that people look at my opposition to Joe Reed and think it's kind of vile and some of the stuff I might say, but I just want to put it like this right here. The fact is, Joe Reed, the antics he has perpetrated here in the last few years and all that shamefulness going on, how he's trying to do the party, all of that has outpaced and outshined his past successes. Nobody's going to remember Joe Reed's past successes. The only thing they're going to remember is what it took to get him out. Now, what could be going on with him? And I always say it's money. What could be going on with a person that they would throw their whole legacy down the toilet? There's got to be something serious going on that this man is willing for his whole reputation, his whole history, and his whole work in the party to go down the toilet like this. It's got to be greed. It's got to be. That's the only thing I can think that a person would throw it away.
A lot of it has to do with ego. Let me give you an example. 25 or 30 years ago, I was very active in the Democratic Party in Madison County. AEA was very strong. They were at the peak of their power at that time. I was very influential in politics in Madison County. But as the years have gone, but my next birthday, Marcus, I'll be 80 years old. My day is over.
Be glad to have you.
And
with
I
us.
Don't regret it. I look back on the years that I was very effective, and I enjoyed those years, and I'm proud of those years. But it's time for me to move on and younger folks to step up and take the reins.
I agree with you 100%.
To me, it's sad when somebody knows that doesn't know that their day that it's come to an end.
I mean, they should have been out during the last election cycle, but people let them hang around, and we had some successes by electing the first black president. So Joe and Nancy stuck around for that. They haven't done really crap for the party, but they sit around where they can get something off of that, like they've done something when they didn't do anything. The grassroots and the people done it. They sit around for Doug Jones and then getting cut off of that. And I guess now they're going to sit around and try to ride the blue wave.
Well, and Doug Jones he had a masterful campaign, but Doug didn't really get any help from the state Democratic Party. He put together the best grassroots campaign I've ever if I've ever seen.
And added with that campaign, he also had Roy Moore on the other side, and I was disappointed that Doug Jones, there was an issue about some of these media organizations and consulting organizations not getting any contracts or jobs with him. And I haven't, with Doug Jones, I haven't heard anybody really answer or refute what I'm saying, that really didn't. Minorities came out and showed up for him, but did he spread the opportunities, wealth, and experience around when it comes to these contracts on these campaigns? That's still a question that's still out. And I don't like Doug Jones. I don't like Doug Jones saying he hasn't decided yet if he would support Kavanaugh. I mean, everything we have at stake, Doug Jones need to get off the fence.
Yeah. Well, I have said that, you know, Doug Jones is in a very precarious position. He's in a state that's basically very red. But now, you know, the truth be known, a lot of people in Alabama who are claiming themselves to be conservative are not. They're conservative, Marcus, on one issue. And that's the racial issue.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't count being racist conservative. I count that as, I interpret that as being wrong.
Right.
There's not anything conservative to me about being a bigot. It's the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a big difference. And the problem, what a lot of people don't understand is, among the Democrats, is there's the people at the grassroots level and a lot of people can't understand in the black community, with all this racism going on here in Alabama and up there in the White House, why isn't the church speaking out against this? If the church is supposed to be holy of God, you cannot tell me but that some of the things going on here in Alabama and in this country is of God. So if the church is not speaking out and they're supporting Trump because of his tax cuts, the root of all evil, it all leads back to money, and if they support him because of his Supreme Court justices, and we know how these justices feel towards minorities, the cat is out of the bag. We need to look at the American Christian Church as one of the biggest supporters of racism. There's no other way to put it. They're not coming out trying to stop it.
Let me explain to you the right-wing evangelical political movement. They have accepted Jesus as their Savior and rejected the Sermon on the Mount.
That is right on the money.
Does that explain it to you?
That's right on the money. Because
it's not a religious movement. It's a political movement.
Exactly.
It's a political movement using religion as a cover.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, what I hate about that is, you and I both know, if we all know, religious leaders, they could come out hand in hand and denounce some of this stuff that's being done, and it would stop in an instant. Because who's going to go up against them? They have the moral high ground, but they're not using it. And my only answer to the reason why they're not using it is because they believe in it. They subscribe to it. Why else would they be silent?
Right.
Silence is evil.
Have you heard a single religious leader in the state of Alabama really condemn Donald Trump?
Nope. Just like I didn't hear Joe Reed condemn what was done to Don Siegelman. He went all hush mouth, and a lot of Democrats did too. They fled and ran.
Yeah.
When they came after Don, everybody fled and ran.
Yeah.
And all
this
stuff has been going on all these years with this past election with Donald Trump and some of this other stuff. Where is Joe Reed and Nancy Worley's voice? Where is their voice? We don't hear them speaking out on any major issue. What major issue toward the country with African Americans has Joe Reed spoke out on?
Well, you know what? The last time we heard Marcus from Nancy Worley dealing with Trump was when she congratulated him in 2016.
I've said this for a long time. I'm not just saying this to say this, but I really do think that Joe and Nancy works for the other side. That's just my own personal opinion. Everything they do seems like it hurts the Democratic Party. And if you're hurting the Democratic Party, then you're a Republican.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Joe Reed should just pull off his Republican mask and just go on and be who he is. Just go on and be who he is. And when the party does change, I was upset. And even though I think the world of Hank Sanders, I've worked with his daughter's program. I was one of the persons who founded the 21st Century Youth Leadership Movement, nonprofit organization ran by his daughter. I used to go down there and hold camps. I established the Madison County chapter for the New South Coalition, Madison chapter. But this handoff to his daughter, that's just wrong. It's just wrong. It could have been some other people who could have stepped up had they known he was not going to run. Now, I thought it was pretty shady that he waited to the last minute, decided not to run, then here comes his daughter qualifying. There's lots of other people in that area who could have done that, and that's one of the main problems with the Democratic Party. They're trying to, and that goes back to what you're saying about Joe Reed and these 35 people he got. They're going to continue. They set this thing up, and if we don't run them out, call them out, they're going to set up a situation where the leadership in this party is going to go to the same mind-thinking folks, and we can't allow that. We cannot allow that. So I'm all for what you said, filing the complaint with the National Association. They need to revoke Joe Reed. And now you got the situation's so bad, you got all these different PACs, and that's we need all the PACs we can get helping candidates. But nobody trusts them to work with them, so we got PACs popping up to fund the candidates. The candidates is not getting any help hardly from these people.
No, and of course, one of the problems with Alabama taxes that Alabama basically is owned by out of state corporations, and they're not paying any taxes in Alabama.
Mm.
And we need give an example of big box stores like Walmart and others really don't pay income tax on their profits in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, that's got to change. We've got to change.
And things like that would need to change. We've got gigantic paper companies, International Warehouse, International Paper Company Warehouses, Georgia Pacific, on millions of acres of land and paying little or no property tax on it.
Yeah, but I bet you they're giving out some good they're circling around and funding through some good donations to the right people. I can bet you that's happening.
They're funding politicians, but you know it's a win for them to give a politician $100,000 rather than to pay $2 an acre tax.
Yeah,
that's if you own a million acres of land and you can buy a few politicians off for $500,000. And then that you really save $2 or $3 million. That's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal. That's a very good deal. We gotta end that. I wanted to ask you. We're gonna get to. Let's go on to this now. When we was at this event, tell us what's new in your fight and your passion about feeding children.
Well, I think one of the things that's under attack and something that we need to really be concerned about is the free lunch programs and food programs in the public schools. We started off with the free lunch program, and now we've got some breakfast programs and they after school, and there are a lot of people trying to destroy those programs. And Marcus, we've got a large number of children in Alabama. The only good meal they get is what they get at school. And we need to fight keep that program. And the other thing we need to fight for, the Republicans are trying their best to destroy food stamps and that kind of thing. And again, that's for a lot of people in this state, that's the only meal they get.
And that's why that's one of my passions.
We need to be adding to them.
Yes, and that's why I enjoyed talking to you down in Montgomery about that very issue. Like I said, me and my sister, we've had a food pantry for 4 years, and we're about to open up a soup kitchen here in Lawrence County. And we're getting a lot of good public support and people wanting to help, and we're going to do our part to try to end all hunger, but especially child hunger.
Well, in a country as wealthy as ours, let me say this. In a country as wealthy as ours, no child should go to bed tonight hungry and get up in the morning to go to school and be hungry. That's criminal, in my opinion, for that to happen to children. And it's
we got money for wars, but can't feed the poor.
Well, we can give big corporations $1 billion worth of tax cuts, and we don't want to feed children.
Now, that's right.
That does not speak well of us. I think that I heard a politician say one time, and I'll repeat it. Dr. Paul Hubbard said a society will be judged on how it treats its very, very poor and very young. And right now in Alabama, we don't treat either one of those very well.
No, we don't.
And I think that's a blight on our society.
Now, I tell you another thing, that it's just so many little things that's happening that are self-inflicted within the Democratic Party. And to be honest with you, some of the things are kind of backwards. I mean, just like take the attorney general's race, the primary, for example. The Democrats, the party, some of the party leaders, they all got behind one candidate, basically. And then even though that candidate lost his primary, they're dragging their feet about helping the winner of the primary and at the same time elevating the loser of the primary to a leadership position. What sense does that make?
None whatsoever.
It's like they're picking winners and losers.
Well, it's an ego thing of some people would rather be a big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
Than to be a little fish and get something done in a lake.
Be a little fish and swim with the school.
It is a lot of it is just an ego trip.
See, that's what we got to get out the party. That's one of the things that we need to talk about and address. And we get to a point where Joe Reed has these people so blindfolded and so blind that, you know, and Joe Reed is not beyond race baiting. I've said it before. He ain't nothing but a little Donald Trump. He's a little black Donald Trump because he is doing some of the same exact tactics that Trump do. And a lot of black people don't like when I say that, but I can prove what I'm saying. You might not like to hear it, but you're going to hear it because I'm not the grassroots mouthpiece to tell you what you want to hear, something all rosy for your ears. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And what African Americans need to hear is we have a problem in the African American community that we can't criticize our black leaders because there'll be a bunch of people in some of the older generation, they'll jump up, look at you crazy, because they feel like this person is the only person we got. Why are you criticizing him? But they don't realize that person is using that mentality to stay in power. There is black, white, Republican, Democrat, there is no one above criticism by informed critics. No one.
And Marcus, everybody needs to be checked.
Exactly.
Nobody needs to have unfettered power over anything. And the old cliche I use is, if there are two people that agree on everything, one of them isn't necessary.
and
I disagree with a lot of good friends, and I agree with folks. I sometimes disagree with the National Democratic Party. I disagree with Doug Jones on some issues. There's nothing personal about it, But I think we all have to stand up for what we believe in.
Yes, and that's what I told Deborah that on my first time meeting you. That's why I enjoyed talking to you so much. We disagreed about a lot on the way down in Montgomery, a whole lot.
Absolutely.
But you can disagree and remain friends, which takes me back. Yes, exactly. You'll learn something.
Yes.
That takes me back to a conversation I was having with the president of the UAH Democrats, Student Democrats.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, disagreeing and still remaining friends. I'll tell you right now, and one of my good friends always has been my friend. He's supported when I've helped the less fortunate in the community, and that's Parker Griffin. And I say it like this right here. He has done a whole lot, not just in addition to winning the Albert P. Brewer Award for his community service, but we all know he has done a lot for education. He's done a lot for the Democratic Party. He's done a lot for individual candidates. And like I told him, I said, we disagree about when he left the party. The situation should have never gotten where he left the party.
Yeah.
But we have to look at, we are stupid as Democrats if we don't look at where he was right. He was right to want to sell the Ukraine those weapons to defend against Russia. We didn't do it because Obama and Pelosi did not want to offend Russia. They was trying to cozy up and get a better relationship with him. Well, that did not work out, and Russia walked into Ukraine. Now, if they would have had those missile systems developed over here in the Madison County area, and people were like, he's just doing that to try to bring money in, that's what a politician is supposed to do. You're supposed to bring in good things for your district. So Parker Griffin was right on that, and he opposed some of the things that was in the Affordable Care Act, which is commonly smeared as Obamacare. But he opposed some of those same things. They were mad at him about that. Guess what?
Yeah.
The Democrats now are willing to change some of those things. So this hatred and this continued feeling toward Parker Griffin, to me, that's one of the other stupid things that we are doing in the party. And that just lets me know that there's a certain wing of the Alabama Democratic Party. If you're not licking their bootstraps, you will hit a glass ceiling. And that has got to change. People have got to be free to voice their opinions, and their opinions have to be respected.
Well, Marcus, I tell people, one of the problems we have in this country is if an idea comes forward from a Republican, as a Democrat, I'm supposed to immediately be against it. If an idea is put forth by a Democrat and I'm a Republican, I'm supposed to be immediately against that. What we've got to do is look and see that sometimes the other side has good ideas. Sometimes we have good ideas. Sometimes we all have bad ideas.
Right.
But we've got to evaluate things on the basis of what they are. And in the olden days when I was younger, you had the Tip O'Neills and the Ronald Wagons and folks, and they did bipartisan efforts, and they worked together, and they got things done.
Right.
Now, government really is almost neutered itself. The United States Congress just can't seem to get anything passed.
Yep. Everybody's ran back to their corner, and nobody wants to listen to anybody, and nothing gets done. Meanwhile, the crooks are taking everything.
Too many people in Congress in these positions, the only thing they're interested in is keeping that position.
Yep. That's back, like I said, people don't want to realize when history has moved beyond them. You know, you have got to realize, and you got to do it for the party. And I say they don't love the party. That's, like I said, once again, this is just my opinion. If Nancy and Joe loved the party, they would step aside and let the next generation with some fresh legs, more computer and social media savvy, they would let them take over or either give them positions of authority and power where we can have this party. I've never seen a bunch of people trying to hold on to a position till they take it into the grave with them. That's not right for the next generation. It's not right.
Well, in the next generation,
can I chime in here?
Yes.
Come on in. We got about four more minutes.
Okay, you know what, Marcus, you're right, it's not right. But these are people that they're that hardcore. They will stay in till they die. They will die. They don't quit, they die. And, you know, and other people that are their base are so supportive that they will overlook things. And we know that because we see that with your president, number 45. It doesn't matter what he does. He's losing
support. Not my president.
But he still keeps his strong base, and they will stand by in spite of or regardless. So I just think, Joe, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that, you know, people like you, you know, is, you know, doing what you're doing and supporting and speaking out. What I'm going to do is continue to educate our voters about, you know, what we need to do and try to get them out, because I know going after the Republican that I'm running against that he has the money, he has the power, but if I can get over 100,000 people out to the polls, then I know that I can do this. It is not impossible. But we as Democrats have got to start sticking together and stop being so divisive and so critical. I mean, they doing to Doug Jones what they did to President Obama. He got in, everybody cried and was happy. As soon as he made a decision they didn't agree with, then his own Democrats and his own blacks turned against them. And Doug Jones, he is not going to make every decision that every